It's warm. Well, we've made it. It's Dallas. It's sweaty. Draft's over. Deals are made. Our sword print's gone. Face off hockey show. Now.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Choose your command. You have chosen the face-off hockey show.
I mean, hockey is my life. I've got on hockey underwear right now.
The face-off hockey show. What? With Scotty Waz. Sean O.
And a breakaway. Take two, three,
and the P-Boys. Johnny and Mark with a C.
Yeah, baby.
Here's your host for the Face Off Hockey Show, Scotty Waz.
Oh, it's warm and it's hot and it's ugh in Dallas. Welcome to Face Off Hockey Show. Everything's a highway in Dallas. Life has been a highway. Scotty Waz. Then the NHL history girl. Johnny P, you saw his lovely mug.
Hi.
Intro. And Lyle Richardson joins us. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Suffice to say, Lyle, it was kind of a boring draft until Dougie Hamilton got moved.
Trade-wise, yes, it was kind of dull. Selection-wise, at least in the opening round, few surprises.
A little bit. I mean, I think we all figured after number two it was a crapshoot.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody...
They were kind of in the range, but a couple that were a little off the board. But I think everyone very, very didn't know what the hell they were talking about. No, honestly, let's be honest. Because we had a guy, I think it was from McKean's, because we were saying we're from North Dakota. And he's like, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Your guys won't go to tomorrow. And then, like, three picks later, Jacob Bernard Docker goes to the Ottawa Senators. So... No.
Senators took a run on North Dakota prospects.
Yeah, North Dakota freshman defenseman. It was a huge run on them. So that was a fun ordeal. But yeah,
and they stole one of our players from last year.
Who? Oh yeah, Willannon. So it's a pipeline of defensemen in Ottawa. The hell?
Sorry, I'm changing my lighting.
I guess so. Johnny and I have massive queen bedrooms with tiny, tiny bathrooms.
Yeah. The bed, we have king size beds.
Oh yeah, king. Yeah.
Yeah. The bed I think is bigger than the bathroom.
Mm. Yeah. No, it really is.
Wow.
In order to shut the door to have some privacy in the bathroom, you kind of almost have to stand like in the shower.
Tiny.
The best part about my room, though, is that the stairs are right across the hall, which I didn't realize until, like, probably 6 hours after getting into the room. And every time somebody opens the door for the stairs, my door, because of air, jiggles as well. So I'm, like, sitting there taking a shower. I don't close doors or anything when I'm taking showers. And I hear the door jiggling, and I was like, I hope Scotty and Jen aren't coming in.
Weird.
Hit the full Johnny. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so the travel here wasn't bad. We realize our hotel is a nice hotel, but we also realize not a pedestrian city, Dallas. Everything's across an 8-lane highway.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, Whataburger's across the street. We can't get there because there's, you know,
two highways in the highway.
Yeah, exactly. Two highways.
No, you have to cross two highways and go under two highways at the same time.
Yeah, we're at the intersection of four highways.
It's effectively like a middle school math logic problem.
Uh-huh. If you take 635 to 35 underneath 85, how long will it take you to get to Whataburger?
There's a Jack in the Box we can walk to.
How long does it take you? If I was there, it would be okay. How long does it take until Lyle just gives up and orders a pizza?
Well, the good thing about it is Uber Eats is a thing.
Yeah.
So we were able to get a dog. So Doghouse delivered via Uber Eats.
I saw your one of your sharesies of those. May I say that looked delicious.
The Fonz, an Italian sausage inside Texas, like fluffy Texas toast with bacon, cheese, and pastrami.
It was that, right?
That looked really good.
When you open the box, did you go, hey, yo?
Actually, what happened is I banged on the top of the box and it popped out. So, and then we got the Tuscadero Twins side of fries. So that was really,
really good. But we never got a Nacho Man Randy Savage, though.
Oh, man.
So, and then we also, they are the absolute worst.
The absolute worst. That is great. It's just a great name. When I saw that, I just laughed out loud. I said, that is a great name.
And I also found Sean Lindsay's motto. So, there we go. But draft time, everyone's favorite time. Well, it started off with a great day for the Washington Capitals, trading Brooks Orpik and Philip Grubauer to the Colorado Avalanche to free up cap space.
Well, okay, so if we say it correctly, the Capitals traded Philip Grubauer for a second round pick, and the Avalanche took Brooks Orpik's contract as well.
Essentially, by and large, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah. How long until we hear of the John Carlson re-signing?
Oh, I would say that's going to happen very, very quickly. Just for the simple fact, we didn't hear anything from the John Carlson camp saying, yes, he's going to meet with other teams during the interview process starting Monday. Because you got to figure, I mean, Carlson, after John Tavares, Carlson is the biggest name in the free agent market this summer. And of course, we all heard that Tavares is going to meet with five different teams. So it stands to reason that if Tavares was going to, well, you'd figure Carlson was going to too. So the fact we haven't heard that from them, that signals that, yeah, we're probably going to hear in the next few days. I'll be surprised if we get to the end of the week and Carlson has not put pen to paper on an 8-year, $8.25 million per season deal.
Oh,
stay with Washington. Oh, yes.
That's awesome.
That'd be good.
Oh,
value.
Yes.
Yeah, I would take that value.
That's Oliver Ekman-Larsson money. That's what Ekman-Larsson's getting on his contract extension.
I'll take it.
They have
you
no choice.
For you or for Carlson?
Who cares? Anybody.
For Carlson and for the Capitals, because the Capitals have no choice. If you let Carlson walk, if you don't re-sign him, you have just blown a huge hole into your blue line. You will be unable to fill. Because there's nobody in the free agent market comparable. There's nobody in the trade market, really. I mean, okay, Justin Falk is rumored now to be available. We'll talk about that later on when we get to the whole Dougie Hamilton trade thing. But he's not a comparable. He's just not. You know, John Carlson led all NHL defensemen in scoring in the regular season and the playoffs this year. He's your best all-around defenseman. You sign him. And so, yeah, he's going to be re-signed. They have the cap space now. They're down to like 58 mil, committed to 15 players. So there's more than enough room to re-sign him. And if you guys love Brooks Orpik a lot, guess what? You may not have seen the last of him in a Capitals jersey because GMBM said, yeah, he'd welcome him back, you know, if he was bought out for a reasonable deal. And guess who was put on waivers today, unconditional waivers for a buyout?
Can they do that? Like, I thought, what's the rule if you're bought out?
Yeah.
Because I was just going to ask that same question, because there was a back and forth today that I was reading while I was watching soccer on if the Capitals could even do that. But I think the consensus was that because the Capitals aren't the team buying him out, then they can re-sign him.
Yes, yes. I mean, I was confused by it initially as well, because I thought that would be considered cap circumvention in a sense. You know, you trade the guy away, you know, because he's carrying a contract you don't like, the team buys him out, and then, you sign him to a much cheaper deal. But apparently, that's a thing. It's allowed. So
how has Lou Lamoriello not already done this?
I know, right?
I mean, at this point, even Lou's sitting at the table going, damn it, I didn't know we could do that.
It just goes to show the CBA continues to be this
a gift that keeps on giving.
This ongoing learning experience. Just so you think that you know pretty much everything that's important to know about it. Something like this comes up and you go, oh, like, okay, I thought that would be a cap circumvention, but I guess not. And, okay, how long do you think it'll take people to start calling that the Brooks or pick rule that will be implemented in the next CBA to stop that sort of shenanigans from happening? Because if it happens once, I have a feeling we're going to see that happen again.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm sure that'll happen. Next round discussions.
Yeah.
It'll happen in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure there are other GMs going, wait a minute, we can do this? Holy crap! Okay.
Damn! Well, along those lines, Lyle, I was having a discussion with the wonderful Sean Leahy, and we were talking about the Tavares thing and how he's doing the interviews and stuff like that. If he were to actually hit the open market and then resigns with the Islanders, can they give him an 8-year deal, or would he technically be free?
No, if he hits July 1st, 12:01 p.m. and he is officially an unrestricted free agent, they can only do him for a 7-year deal.
Okay,
that's the way it goes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Even though he's coming back to the same team that he left, it's still only 7 years. So that's why the Islanders are really kind of keen to get this done before July 1st. They'd like the 8 years.
Is it good or bad that he's actually going to interview with people in this week up leading up to the free agency?
Oh, well, if you're an Islanders fan, this is horrible. This is heart attack time. Now you're scared shitless that he's out the door. Excuse my French. But, you know, I think this is comparable to what his buddy Steven Stamkos did 2 years ago. In fact, you know, we know he's been talking with his buddy Stammer. We know this. And he's just like, look, you know, yeah, your heart's, you know, yeah, you think you want to sign. You know, I thought I wanted to sign with Tampa Bay, but I wasn't sure. So I went and talked to other teams. And in Stamkos' case, that sealed the deal. He was like, after he got done talking to the Leafs, he told his agent as they were walking back to the car, he said, no more interviews. And they jumped the car, went back to Tampa Bay, and he re-signed the following day. So this could be something for Tavares that will, you know, either convince him fully that he needs to, re-sign with the Islanders. And it also gives him leverage because other teams are going to be talking to him and they're going to make their pitch. And this could put some pressure on Lamoriello and Islanders management. I mean, you know, he could come back and say, you know, hey, look, you know, the Sharks are willing to give me 12.5 mil. Can you match that or beat that? And, you know, I really don't think money's an object for the Islanders. I think they will pay him whatever he wants to stay.
But they almost have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt. But you know what? It doesn't hurt. And honestly, though, I was expecting more moves by Lamoriello. And we still might see them because apparently what really gummed up the trade market this weekend is teams were waiting to find out what Tavares is going to do, and they were waiting to find out what Kovalchuk's going to do. And we'll talk about him later on, too, here. I don't want to go too way out there. But
well, we were going to get all the trade stuff out of the way first and the signing.
Sure. Yeah, so let's do that. We'll pull back onto that.
So does Tavares getting like his own like conference room and allowing people from TSN to post up out front, or is he going to fly to multiple locations just to mess with people?
No, he's meeting with his agent's office in Los Angeles, California, and all the team reps will be coming to him.
Nice. Yeah. I hope he gets his own show out of this, like an hour long. Like,
oh man, it would be great if he did. I made my decision. Oh. If he goes to Toronto, I already have the piece lined up that I'm going to write about how stupid the Leafs are to blow their brains out signing him. Yeah, you know, I haven't written it yet. It's written in my head. And after I have a couple of these, it's going to just flow. Vitriol, pure vitriol will flow. But anyway.
So we move on to another hot contested thing, and that is Ilya Kovalchuk, 3-year deal. Welcome back to the NHL, Ilya. Los Angeles, California, home of the Doors. Now a King. The deal reported worth $18.75 million. Man, they didn't learn from Marion Gaborik. The short-term deal, at least.
Well, Luke Robitaille said flat out, it's no secret, we need scoring. And that's why we signed him. And I'm going,
he had scoring back in the – how is he going to transition to the NHL again?
Do you have a time machine?
Fair.
Mind you, though, he was the KHL's leading scorer this year.
Yeah.
That's like Kerry Ramo is like the best KHL goalie.
The best scorer not in it. Yeah. That's the label you don't want to have hanging around you, isn't it? You know, if history's proven as anything, you're the best player not in the NHL. Don't say that. I am so screwed now. but yeah, I mean, to Jen's point, I mean, Luke Robitaille, yeah, they need scoring. They need it right away, especially on the power play. That's where they really, really struggled last season.
I'm betting that's their plan, is to just stick him out there on the power play, like, here, give him the puck.
Yeah.
Give him the puck. It's going to be like Sheldon Story, just give him the puck.
Log a lot of minutes. I could see him being a second line winger, but it depends. I mean, he could come in great shape and just go. I mean, like, you know, Rob Blake was even saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, you know, yeah, we know we're getting a guy who's 35 years old, who was last in the league 5 years ago, but he played very well in Russia. He played very well in international tournaments against the best in the world. And he could be like another Jaromir Jagr. He could come in and he could play very, very well. So, excuse me. So, but at the very least, yeah, as Jen's saying, at the very worst, you can put him on the power, just have him lug a lot of power play minutes and just set up as your gunner, you know?
Yeah. I think the difference with the comment, with the comparison with Jagr, though, is that Jagr never used his speed to his advantage. And that Kovalchuk had speed before he left. He was a fast skater. He got himself open to get off that shot by using his legs. So where are his legs coming back into the NHL? Like, that comparison with Jagr doesn't make sense, other than the fact that they both went to Russia and played and both came back to the NHL.
Mm.
And I mean, you look at, you know, to that point, like, Jagr's hands were always his favorite. I never heard anybody compliment Kovalchuk's stick handling ability. I mean, I could have missed that in the Atlanta Thrashers that much, but
he had a great shot. Yeah
but the stick handling, as a puck handler, is he a guy that's going to be able to not get the puck chipped off a stick that much? Because he used his speed to get past defenders. Now, if he's lost that speed, or if he's not able to get a, you know, more evasive, are his hands good enough that he can maneuver around the defensemen today?
I think that they're confident that he can do that. They wouldn't have invested that much just, you know, based on, well, he used to be great once, so let's take the chance here, because in a salary cap era, you really can't afford to do that. So, you know, I think they did their homework on this, and I think they're comfortable with it. At the very least, they're looking, it's the same deal that Patrick Marleau got. Now, we all kind of cringed when that deal went down too. We're like, really? For a third guy who's 38 years old, he'll be 41 when that deal's done, you're giving him that much for that long? But listen, Marleau had a good season last year with the Leafs, you know, and he had a very good playoff too. So, you know, I guess they're figuring if they can get at least two good seasons out of Kovalchuk like that, it'll be worth the extra season if he craps out. So, you know, and he's 3 years younger than Marleau. So
it's true. Yeah.
You know, Marleau, when he was that age, I mean, he was still putting up 30 goal seasons. So, yeah.
The other big deal of the day, towards the end of the day, sneaking in there at the end, the Calgary Flames trading Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland and defenseman prospect Adam Fox to the Carolina Hurricanes for Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin. Ooh,
Well, it was a hockey trade.
Yeah, it sure was.
And it was a blockbuster.
I looked at the trade and went, huh.
Well, I think we can agree that right off the bat, Carolina got the better player in the deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Michael Ferland is a beast. And I'll tell you, oh, that's right, Hamilton. Yeah, but no, they did. They get the better player. I mean, Dougie Hamilton, 25 years old, 17 goals, career high last season. He's averaged 48 or more points a season in each of the last four. You know, he's improved defensively as well over the last 3 years. So, you know, he is definitely, I think, head and shoulders, they're now their best defenseman. They're definitely, you know, top pairing guy. He's going to help their offense, and especially on the power play. They were 23rd in offense overall last season, 20th in power play percentage. So he's going to help the Hurricanes a lot in that regard. You know, Ferland, he'll come in and I think they're going to be looking at him just kind of taking over, Lindholm's spot, at least on the wing. He's a physical winger, 26, you know, quite the agitator. And he'll bring some size and some grit to the Hurricanes, because the Hurricanes were kind of pushovers this past season, you know, smaller forwards, skilled guys, but they kind of got pushed around a bit. And Ferland, he won't let those guys get pushed around. So I like that. The wild card though for me in there is Adam Fox. He's the Harvard University defenseman. The word was when I was hearing the report from the trade about the trade, it came from NHL Network because I had to watch it on NHL Network today. Anyway. Oh God. But anyway. But the word that came from that was that Fox, that the Flames had concerns that Fox might not sign with them. They selected him in the 2016 draft, and I think they were afraid that they might lose back into the draft next year. So I guess they figured we'll put him in there and, you know, we may as well get an asset back in return. But if he sticks with Carolina, I mean, as good as he's playing, the Hurricanes could have themselves another top four, a really good top four defenseman in his early 20s, in a couple of years' time. So, but in the meantime, you know, hey, you still get yourself a terrific defenseman in Dougie Hamilton. Conversely, for the Flames, there's potential. You know, Noah Hanifin, 21 years old, you know, good size. His defensive game still needs work, but he has been improving. Lindholm, you know, terrific all-around forward. He can play center. He can play the wing. And, in fact, I think that's where the Flames are probably looking at putting him, is sticking him on right wing on the Monahan-Goudreau line and see how that pans out. And you got to figure, too, that Bill Peters, the Flames head coach, that he had a role in this because, of course, what was his previous job? Head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. So he knows Hanifin and Lindholm very well. The interesting thing for me about all this was Lindholm was linked to the Flames as early as this past Monday. And of course, initially people were skeptical right off the bat hearing it, but it just, as we got closer to the draft weekend, you just kept hearing that drumbeat of Lindholm to Calgary, Lindholm and Calgary. So when I first saw my Twitter feed start popping up that Calgary and Carolina were talking trade and it wasn't going to involve draft picks, we didn't know who was going. My first thought was, Lindholm's going to Calgary. I was surprised when it was Hanifin, but yeah, Lindholm's going to Calgary for sure because, Friday night, I mean, his representatives met, with the Hurricanes management to continue to talk contract. And the word from Pierre LeBrun was it did not go well. So make of that what you will. Bottom line is Lindholm and Hanifin are now, with the Calgary Flames. If those two guys, you know, pan out as well as expected, the Flames, yeah, it's definitely going to be a big improvement for them. But if they struggle along in any way at all, and if the Flames don't make any notable improvement next season and they continue to kind of struggle to make the playoffs, and conversely, the Hurricanes end up just taking off with Hamilton anchoring their blue line. Yeah, and then you got to start wondering how long Brad Treliving's going to have, you know, how if his days will be numbered as GM of the Flames, because this is the second straight year in a row that he's traded for a defenseman, because of course he did the Travis Hamonic deal last year and he gave up, you know, quite a lot to get him. So, you know, Hamonic was okay, but he didn't help put them over the top as everybody expected. So now you're bringing in, you know, you've traded away, I think, your best defenseman. No, you know, Mark Giordano is no longer, the big guy that he once was. He's still a terrific defenseman, but he's not at the level he was 2 to 3 years ago. Dougie Hamilton was their best defenseman. Now you've gone and traded him away. If Hanifin doesn't pan out and if the other guys like TJ Brody don't improve, Flames could be in trouble, but we'll have to see.
What do you think of this thing that now that, you know, Dougie was a personality problem?
That seems to be kind of dogging him a bit, isn't it, Jen? I mean, that was the reason why he left the Bruins traded him. And, you know, but everything I was hearing was with the Flames, as far as the Flames are concerned, there wasn't any real issue there. But again, Dougie's name.
Now they're saying, oh, well, the rest of the team was having lunch and he was at a museum by himself. Like,
oh, my God. You know, here we go. Yeah.
Really?
Like, and it's,
was it a bowling museum?
Because if it's a bowling museum, you can totally understand that. I was so jealous of you guys. I saw the pictures and that looked fantastic.
That was fun. Yeah.
I and the duck pin bowling.
Oh. Yeah, it's so odd that they're complaining that he's a personality yeah. problem, and their biggest complaint is that, you know, he didn't want to have lunch with the rest of the team.
Yeah. And this is the thing, too, that gets me. Like, where are all these stories, you know, when the player's there? Like, look a week ago when Galchenyuk got traded. All of a sudden, the Montreal media, it just this outpouring of, oh, his father was a meddler, and oh, the kid would rather listen to his father rather than take advice from the coaches, and blah, blah, oh, and he has an entourage, and he thinks he's better than everybody. Where the hell was this stuff before?
He's keeping secrets of Montreal, though. That's the thing.
That's what gets me.
Secrets in Montreal. It doesn't happen.
I know. Like, that's what I thought was so puzzling. It's like, wait a minute. How come we never heard about this crap during his time that was there? The only thing we did hear anything about with Galchenyuk, just to sidetrack quickly, was last summer when Mario Tremblay claimed that the kid went to rehab last year. Since Galchenyuk got traded, we have not heard anything like about that at all. So I think that was just Tremblay talking out his arse like he tends to do. But all this other stuff is like, where the hell was this when he was there? Yeah. It was the same with Dougie Hamilton the first time when he was in Boston. They traded him, and then all of a sudden this stuff says, he had a bad attitude. And it's like,
I wonder if this is not like some sort of like CYA, like, okay, we traded this popular, talented player. Now we got to have a reason, like an extra reason why, just in case.
You know, to me, some of it seems pretty petty. You know, like just some of it just seems like, really? The guy's gone and now you're going to be like a bunch of mean girls and you're going to talk about him behind his back? Like, give me a break. And how much is this is real? How much is this is just baseless gossip? Oh, you wouldn't believe what I heard about Dougie. This one time, the team went to lunch and Dougie went to a museum. What's up with that? What's up with that? Come on. Who wouldn't want to go to, come on. Oh, horrible.
It's kind of like this stuff. It's like the stuff that you make up after you like break up with a girl or she breaks up with you and you like make up these stories like how bad she was anyway. And it's not that. Yeah, I really didn't want her around.
So yeah.
You're going to break up them first.
Yeah.
They go, oh, I never, oh, no, we were never happy. Really? Jeez, you seemed really happy with her. Like, no. She was a real pain in the ass. There were things about her I never really liked. You know, that cute way her nose wrinkled when she laughed, I'd never like that. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. It just the whole thing, like I said earlier, with all this talk about players in the media, about players after they've been traded, like I said, just has this mean girl vibe to it that I just find kind of petty. Anyway.
No Pacioretty move. Surprised?
A little, yeah, gotta say, I agree with you, Jen. A little bit, a little surprised. Well, my heart kind of leapt there at one point where the NHL, again, I had no choice. I couldn't access Sportsnet's coverage or anything like that of the draft on my Android box, so I had to stream it on NHL.com or NHL Network, and they were the ones that said, oh, we're hearing that Max Pacioretty could be heading to San Jose, and I'm like, what? It's like, okay, who are they getting? Oh God, you got to get a center back. It's like right away, I'm running through all the combinations of what Montreal could get back.
I would think that they would get a center back.
That's
true.
Yeah. Because right away when I heard it, though, like I said, I'm thinking, well, okay, well, they need a center. Maybe Hurdle. Oh, my God. Maybe you're getting Logan Couture. No, you're not getting Logan Couture. Don't be stupid, Lyle. Don't be stupid. Who are they getting? It's less, I was trying to figure out who they get. And then it was just like, oh. Wah, wah.
Yeah,
not happening. Yeah, that's my core.
No, I think Jen's on to something, though. You think that they were going to get a center, but Bergeron actually gets back a draft pick and a young defenseman.
I mean, they need a center, so the only reasonable thing to do is get a defenseman.
Well, they did trade one of their goalies today, so...
Hockey.
Yeah, Hayden Hockey.
It's hockey time somewhere else.
Yeah, Providence now is an Edmonton Oilers prospect. So he'll die in that goalie field.
man. So, oh, yeah. But, yeah, Pacioretty, though, I think he's going to be moved, you know. I think, as they were saying earlier, the trade market kind of got hung up because people are waiting to see what Tavares is going to do. And they're also waiting to see what Kovalchuk's going to do. Well, now that pins down with Kovalchuk. So teams like the Sharks and other clubs who are interested in Kovalchuk, they're going to start swinging around and kind of revisiting a deal, you know, looking at Pacioretty. So I still think that move can happen, you know. But it's got to be for center. I mean, Bergeron doesn't have any choice. Now, he doesn't have any choice. I said when he made the Domi deal last week, I said, I think that's setting the table for the Pacioretty trade. But whether it's going to be Ryan O'Reilly, which sounds increasingly unlikely now, or somebody else that we don't know, I do think that he is going to try and move him for a center.
So we'll break up this draft trade talk with the draft food talk. Now,
yay!
Friday, the big meal had they had the pool chicken.
Yeah, it was a type of like barbecue chicken.
But they had a brisket.
Oh, that looked good, by the way. Delicious. Saw the pictures. That looked good.
Fantastic. They have anything else? They had
ranch chicken wraps.
Ranch chicken wraps, Caesar chicken wraps. Whole gambit of things. They had cookies and brownies, which I was pissed off they didn't have today.
Yeah, they were like, go screw yourselves. There's no dessert. There's only fruit.
Exactly. There's only fruit in it. And
yeah, you always have to steal stuff draft day one and put it in your bag for the next
Yeah.
day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the bag they provided of pretzels.
Wow.
To each person?
10-ounce bag.
Wow.
That they had sitting in the basket of rolled golds.
Wow.
It was like little tiny bags of like Doritos.
And Fritos and other and Lay's chips and then
Roll Gold! Now, I like me some Roll Gold and I like the cheddar one, so.
My God.
I would have jumped all over those.
He handed it to me. He's like, here, put this in your purse.
$3.29 for free. thank you very much.
You sure that wasn't somebody just accidentally brought that bag in and was there?
Like, both days they had.
Oh.
Like the big bags in the bowl, and we thought it was a mistake. We thought they were going to like open them and then you use like the tongs and.
Yeah. I would have been all over the. But you gotta have the baked goods. You gotta have the cookies. You gotta have the brownies, man. Like that's the staple at the table. If you don't have that, come on. Yeah. I mean, Buffalo with the hubcap sized chocolate chip cookie. I still remember
that. That was part of the box lunch too. Remember?
Yes, that was the. Oh, I know I've only been to three of these, but that was out of the three drafts I've been to. That was the one in Buffalo. That was the best box lunch, man. They did the best box lunches.
And then today was build your own box lunch.
Oh.
So they gave you the bread.
You had like three bread options.
Three bread options, three meat options, three salad options if you wanted like egg, chicken, and tuna.
Yeah.
And then they had like your mayo and mustard, and then they had the bags of chips and stuff like that.
What were your meat options?
It was ham, turkey, and roast beef.
Okay.
Yeah, decent.
And standard.
And cheese, provolone, yellow, American,
provolone.
Swiss. So three kinds of cheeses. Three kinds
of cheeses. Well, that's good. That's good.
Provolone.
Three kinds of soda.
Yeah.
Three kinds of juice.
It's a three weekend.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, and then I walked down to Exxon in order to get some food for my World Cup binge watching today. And you can tell that this is an extremely red state. I couldn't even find Cool Ranch Doritos.
Wow.
I was like, what the heck? You don't even have blue Cool Ranch Doritos in this state.
Nothing but respect for my president.
they did have signs posted at the fan fest and everything. No guns allowed.
Yeah.
Well, that was comforting.
They had to put up big signs that said no guns allowed for this event.
And at the Sebo, too. The Sebo. By the way, 7-Eleven. Oh, they deliver now, apparently.
Yes.
What?
I had to deliver for Sean Leahy. They didn't deliver. It was me.
You could have just downloaded the app and they would have delivered it to you, the Shooters.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
I didn't even take a tip out of that money like he gave me.
I know, right?
Oh, I forgot to give you another Deadpool cup.
Yeah, that's fine. We're both down there this week or tonight, so
yeah, I'll be fine.
Have another one. Yeah. So that was the food report. The best part about all this was the fan fest where they had a giant, three giant longhorn steer, live longhorn steer.
Wow,
that's why you couldn't take guns.
So, Pope Brian Metzer got a picture next to one. And they almost had to go panoramic with how big the steer's horns were. So it's not just a clever name. telling me, yeah, there's like, they have a saddle you could sit on if you wanted to. And I was like, yes, nah.
The most amazing part, too, was that I feel like Metzger just walked up to the steer and was like, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. How are things?
By the way, he did that gimmick again. I love it so much. Well, here's the funny part. We're trying to cut through to get to Shooters last night. Yeah. And Sean Leahy goes up to the security guard and asks him what's up, and they tell us to go around. And Sean's like, yeah, I guess you're not the mayor of this town, Brian. And Brian's like, he didn't let me talk to him. So,
you tell him the Frank story?
Nah, that's not for air. Okay. I will tell them off air. Johnny knows. I'll tell Lyle off air.
Nah, that's not for on air.
Shout out Frank Brown. Thanks for watching. So
then there was me deadpan on Thursday before we go down to get their credentials. Scotty looks at me and goes, "All right, so we're going to take the train down to the American Airlines Arena. I need to pick up the credentials, and then there's a place next to it called Shooters." And then, without missing a beat, I look at him and I go, "Is there a second one?" And he just starts laughing. And then we get there, and I'm not even lying. Jen looks and goes, "Do you know where the bathroom is?" And I go, "Yeah, it's back and to the left." And I'm like, "I'll be here all week."
It's endless. These jokes. But that's the thing is that's all they say to go do. Go do the JFK thing. Go do the
yeah.
It's literally the only thing they told us to do. Like.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do when I go to Dallas. I want to see the place where a president got killed.
Right? From what I've heard, too, is that they have, like, street vendors that sell, like, facsimile or reproductions of the newspaper from, like, the day after and stuff, too. Like, just random, like, souvenirs that you can buy on the grassy knoll.
Oh, God.
Yeah, apparently, we heard there's conspiracy theorists there all the time. They have to ask to leave. Jesus. That's something. And then we decided to go to the bowling museum because why not?
That was amazing.
That looked like a great time.
It was a great trip, but the problem was the poor person working the gift shop / front desk / everything. Every time we saw her, like, she wasn't in the gift shop to buy stuff, and she would come in with like these little plush pin dolls, and they're just like.
Like, we walked in to buy the admission. She wasn't in there, and then she comes through with an armful of these. Indoles, and then when we exited and we were gonna buy stuff, she wasn't there, and then she comes in with this armful of pin dolls, and we're like,
it's like Groundhog Day. either that or she was like a pin boy in a past life,
right?
Like, yeah,
that's the thing. I don't think there's a run on pin plush dolls enough for them to warrant two trips to refill them. I mean,
we were the only people there. Like, who bought them in the time frame that we got in there and then walked around and came out? We were the only people there.
Did some bandit come in, like, grab them and... Like,
or they just come in? Someone buys 10 of them for their, like, kid to have, like, a plush bowling alley?
Wow. Yeah. You never know. There could be a run-on on plush pin dolls. Yeah.
True.
But it looked like you guys had a great time. I enjoyed the duck pin bowling footage very much. Nice way to pick up the spare there, Jen, by the way.
That was all nicely on Jen, done. Too. She found that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
These two were just, like, wandering by, and I'm like, there's bowling lanes. There's buttons. I'm going to push the button. And it started the lane, and I was like, guys!
This magical, magical find here in the museum.
I see buttons. I want to push buttons.
There's a lot of buttons to push, and it played a lot of things.
Yeah. The Texas history. We went to the opening of the Dallas Stars
Alumni Center / Texas Hockey History
Museum.
Yeah,
that's a very long name.
Right?
How was that, by the way?
Well, there was some hilarity. For one thing, they handed me the giant scissors and said, "Here, hold this."
Oh, I saw that picture.
I wanted to go running with them. Like, I just wanted to hold them above my head and, like, yeah!
I think he's the vice president of the Stars or something.
He's the COO.
Yeah, he just went on for like an hour.
He's a nice guy, but...
7 pages of notes?
Yes. Oh, my.
That Bob Bassett had talked for like a half hour?
The guy who helped set up the museum, his name is Jeremy, and he's the Stars historian, and I sort of helped him, like, start organizing stuff and whatever, and so I said, can I bring you anything? And he said, Ed Belfour bobblehead. All right, cool. So Ed Belfour was supposed to be there.
Didn't show.
Right.
No, I don't think anybody.
So I'm standing there with this bobblehead under my arm for, like, 50 years as he started talking. And finally stops talking. Jeremy comes and gets the bobblehead. And Craig Ludwig, like, strolls right up, just like, hey, guys, what's this? What's going on? And Jeremy said that, you know, this is Ed Belfour. And he grabbed it, and he's like, hey, Eddie's here! And Ludwig is like, and so Jeremy tells him, you know, he's here, you know, go have fun. And so he starts walking off with the bobblehead, and then he turns around, and he goes, you know what? I've babysat Ed long enough in my life. You take him.
Then hands it back.
And then takes it back again.
To do pictures for the ribbon cutting of the alumni center.
Yeah, so all of the alumni are posing in front of the doors. Mm-hmm. And right there in the middle, they're holding the Ed Belfour bobblehead in the official opening pictures. And then it just sort of disappeared into the alumni room.
To the abyss.
To the abyss.
And then the Hockey History Museum was pretty rad, just because
yeah.
A lot of work went into it. Jeremy and the team there did a hell of a job. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of displayers of the old jerseys and stuff, which was recreated by a Finnish gentleman who did it all by hand using, like, just the old kind of fabric. Not really to the T, but kind of close to the fabric that they were used there. So he recreated every single jersey from, like, the 20s and 30s and 40s and stuff that were kind of ripped up. So he kind of recreated that on his own. And there's a lot of history there from 1895 onward. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a small exhibit now, but it was big enough to fit a whole – half a conference room. Mm-hmm.
Did they have anything? They must have had stuff there for like the Houston Aeros from the WHA from the 70s. Yeah.
WHA period.
Gary was there. Gary, the owner? The WHA, he was the guy who founded the Aeros. Very,
we'll look it up here in a second.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, they had a lot of WHA stuff. They had a lot of
Gary Stafford.
Okay.
There you go.
A lot of CHL stuff, a lot of minor league stuff.
Because people don't realize, I mean, just you know, how long hockey has had at least a foothold in Texas, you know, for a very long time, long before the Stars, you know, they put the team in Dallas, the Stars, yeah. So
there were even college teams
mm-hmm. in
the 20s.
Yeah.
Like Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
They had a lot of things there, and really well done.
And the nice thing was they didn't just bring in the Stars alumni. They brought in guys from the WHA, from
the Central League.
The Central League. They brought in families of deceased players representing
nice.
Like those early 50s teams and stuff. It was mm-hmm. it was really well done.
Yeah, right on.
And then Landon Wilson did all of the flooring.
Yeah, the former NHLer Landon Wilson, who appeared on Ha Ha Fuck You not too long ago.
he's apparently a contractor now.
Yeah, so shocking, a hockey player goes into construction work. Yeah. Not often does that happen.
Mm. Some become like firefighters and cops too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's the former Oiler he's a firefighter now in Edmonton. Used to be a defenseman for the Oilers. He was just like a third pairing guy. Can't think of it now. Wasn't that long ago?
The only one that turned firefighter I remember off the top of my head is Tim Shevelday.
Yeah, goalie Tim Shevelday. Goalie to the Stars, Tim Shevelday.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, I recall it was earlier this year. Jim Matheson of the Edmonton Journal was doing as usual. Like every week, he does like a hockey shorts and little stories, and he had made mention that he ran across a former Oiler from about 10 years ago, I think, who was now a firefighter. And he just said that he just found it strange that here's this guy that he interviewed 10 years ago who's now he's a firefighter.
Mark Pfister.
Yes.
Steve Stayas. Yes.
Close. No, Pfister. Yeah. Yeah, that's who it was. Yep. But, so I thought that was kind of neat, you know?
Also, Chris Joseph is a firefighter, former Edmonton Oilers defenseman.
And whose son, was one of the kids who perished in the, Humboldt, crash. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, little awkward there for Dallas Stars or, you know, for the Dallas fans there where they were honoring the Humboldt kids and everybody's booing Batman when he's standing there. Though, I gotta say though, Greg Wyshynski made a great point. He said, you know, well, listen, you know that it's like a Pavlovian reaction. Fancy Gary Bettman, they boo. If you didn't want that to happen, you shouldn't have had him do the intro for it.
Yes.
That was my reaction. If NHLPR didn't pull him aside and say, listen, you know, this is going to happen, you have to listen to him.
He did well, though, to get out of it. Pretty quickly and turn it into cheers and stuff. But yeah, I completely agree with that too. You know that's going to happen. Why even put yourself in that position?
Well, yeah.
Fans can stop being shit dicks about it too. Like, get the fuck over it. He's going to be here for 25 years.
There is blame to go around. I mean, listen.
He kind of brings it on himself too, right? Because he's bringing up the crowd in Vegas and being like, oh, now I know that you're a real hockey city because he's getting booed. Like, he brings it on himself. And he's kind
of, I think, like, now it's also a little bit of a almost like a WWE thing where
who
try to take over and go, what? You know, like every time he tries to speak, what? Like,
stop trying to hijack the show. It's not about you.
Yeah. Well, it's like, Johnny made the good point where he's saying, you know, that he said, you know, the best Batman is sassy Batman. And I post up that gif of Vince McMahon doing his.
Yeah.
His strut. It's like, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like he encourages it, you know. But,
well, I love that he encouraged it during the thing and stuff like that. Because, but I mean, people, just come on, just stop.
Yeah, well, I think if you're going to be honoring them, though, I mean, listen, fans aren't going to, as you said, you know, fans might be shit dicks of it, but they're not going to stop doing it, Scotty. So the thing is, don't encourage that Pavlovian response. If you're going to honor somebody before the start of the draft, don't have Bettman do it. You know, have Bill Daly come out and do it. Most fans don't even know who Bill Daly is, you know? They know Bettman just by sight and by sound. They know, you know. But
speaking of honoring, I may have missed it because I was kind of walking around during the beginning of today. But the guy that normally does rounds 2 through 7, is he like retired this year or is he not doing that anymore?
Jim Gregory's last draft was this draft here.
Yeah.
So he is Finito Santiago. He is gone.
He's done it since 1980.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So... And before that, he was general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's the guy who brought Daryl Sittler and Lanny McDonald to Toronto. Yeah. And then Harold Ballard didn't like the fact that he was getting all the praise and fired him. But he landed on his feet. He also, I believe, wasn't he, Jen, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he director, the original director of the Hockey Hall of Fame when it reopened in its current location in 93, I think.
I think briefly.
Yeah, I think he had a role. So he's played a lot of roles over the years. Apparently, according to Bill Daly, he's not retiring completely. He's
retiring from doing...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he said something about to the effect of, these names are getting too damn hard.
I just like have you guys heard the L.A. story? About you, Gregory, when the Kings, I think it was the 2004 draft, and the Kings selected the Japanese goalie Fukufumi.
That was 2004, yeah.
Yeah, and Jim Gregory, it took him several tries to get the name right because he didn't want to say fuck you, Fumi.
I'm pretty sure the entire last round of the draft was teams picking completely off the board names Jim Gregory to say it.
Yeah.
My God.
But Yeah, I just loved his reaction though too in the introduction. I mean, that was actually a very nice intro that Bill Daly got. And actually, Bill Daly got the voice is cracking a couple of times there. You know, you can tell that he's tight with Mr. Gregory. And then afterwards, Jim Gregory comes up and goes, "What the hell am I going to say now?" And then he very quickly
moved along. The Sabres are on the clock.
Exactly. I love that. What the hell am I going to say now? Okay. The 32nd pick in the NHL draft belongs to the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres, you're on the clock. That was brilliant. That was perfect. That's Jim Gregory. There you go.
I love him. I mean, he just wants to move it right along. Like, are you making your pick? You're taking your time out. Let's go here.
It's like
to be.
Listen, we got all the histrionics out of the way last night. I'm 83 years old and I need my Ovaltine, so let's move this along, people.
Like, listen, it is 10:30 in the morning. My flight is at 3.
Let us motor. And that was the thing. Like, we got to talk to Dave Hackstall of the Flyers, but PR was very said. Listen, he's got a car coming at 10:30. We'll get him down here, but we got to be quick. I look at my phone going to the media room. It's 10:07. It's gonna be real quick. It's gonna be super quick.
I hope
taking it or was going to get him just like took off.
Yeah, he put his coffee in the trash and he's like, "Oh, I'll get another one."
So I hope you enjoyed your minute with him.
Yeah, no, it was about that because beat writers took over and just like, "Oh, we'll get him."
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But to the draft, onward, upward. First time in history of the draft. Top 6 players picked from different countries.
Yep, each one from a different country.
Mm-hmm. Sweden and Rasmus Dahlin, some Eastern Bloc nation and Shevchenko. I want to say Czech, but probably Russian. Jesperi Kotkaniemi from Finland, Brady Tkachuk from the U.S., Barrett Hayden from Canada, and Filip Zadina from the Czech Republic. So yeah, so that means Shevchenko is Russian, I suppose.
Yep.
And the first British-born and trained player was drafted.
He was.
Yes.
And everyone says, "Well, what about Tony Hand? Tony Hand was born in Scotland."
Right. So.
But most Americans think they're all the same country anyway.
Yeah.
It is the United Kingdom. Draft by the first round by country of birth, 10 from Canada, 6 from Sweden, 6 from the U.S., 4 from Russia, 2 from Finland, 1 from, or 2 from the Czech Republic, and 1 from Germany.
I saw a Swedish news tweet that this year was like the most Swedes drafted.
Yeah.
I think it was 29 total.
Mm-hmm.
30. It's actually 30, Jen.
30, okay.
Yeah, I was just seeing. No, I mean, you're only off by one, but yeah. But, I mean, no, I'm looking at the full list of nationalities. SiriusXM NHL posted it up. Yeah, Canada, of course, 73. The US of A with 52, and then Sweden with 30.
Also, have we noted this yet, that Mr. Grubauer has been signed?
Nice.
No, we
haven't seen that.
3 year, 33.
Jesus.
$3.33 million cap hit to the Avalanche for Philip Grubauer.
It makes him like the 29th highest paid.
It makes him the third. It makes him the fifth highest paid goalie on the team. So inevitably, when Varlamov breaks down again, he'll be right there.
Yep. Oh, he is. Yeah, they've definitely brought him in with the eye of having him their eventual starter. I think this also means Jonathan Bernier won't be back.
No,
so he's going to the market.
I did see a really good tweet though asking why the Avalanche don't draft goalies, and somebody was like, "Because the team can't produce them. What we do is we just let the Capitals produce them and then trade for them."
Yeah.
Right.
I know the. Able to produce goalies. Not, I mean, they moved there in
96.
I blanked out.
95, 96.
And they had one.
95, yeah.
Forever. And then they had Abishir take over.
And he didn't.
And he didn't pan out. And you look at the goalies after that, and there's really no good.
It makes the Flyers goaltending look good.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Varlamov had a couple of really good years before all the hip injuries and groin injuries started catching up with him.
He wasn't homegrown from the Avalanche.
I know.
Yeah, we're just talking strictly pipeline.
Well, strictly homegrown. Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So a quick question: do you guys think Copley gets the backup job now for Holpe? Yep. You don't see
Samsonov and Vanacek will be the goalies in Hershey.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no reason that the Capitals had him as part of the trade coming back at the deadline if they're not going to use him as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Especially since he has that 1 year left, it gives nice leeway for Samsonov to have a year in North America, play in the AHL, get his feet about him, get the rink dimensions about him, and then come up as a backup next year, challenging for number one.
And I suppose if Copley, struggles in camp or preseason or early in the season, if they're not, I mean, you can always swing a trade and bring in an experienced backup.
Sure. Or if Samsonov feels like he's ready, like maybe bring him up.
Yeah.
Taste here and there, and
somebody
you could probably sign a nice, affordable goalie to a minor league deal pretty easy. So,
I did like how Michael Pavanka's son got drafted by a team that wasn't the Capitals, and the Capitals went, "Oh no, hell no, we're taking everybody else's kid then."
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god!
Collect the nostalgia.
Yeah,
Yeah. This is one of those drafts that just reminds me how old I'm getting, because I saw Wendell Clark's kid get drafted, Chris Drury's nephew got drafted. Sweet, Jel Samuelson's kid went in the second. He went 32nd.
Yeah.
Samuelson's kid.
And then Jason gets up there and he's like, "It's been 30 years since I've been drafted."
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, one of the guys on Twitter and the beat writers was going, "Yeah, just so you all know, most of the kids selected today were born in 2000. I was like, "Shut up. Shut up."
I got ties on these kids.
It's true. Oh, man. I do, from high school.
Yeah, me too. What was the biggest surprise for you, Lyle? Was it the fact that what's his name? Noah Dobson went so far down.
Yeah, out of the prospects that were the selections, yeah, that one. I really, honestly thought that he was going to go somewhere between 7 and 10. I thought for sure the Blackhawks are going to grab him. The Red Wings are going to grab him. The Red Wings are looking for defensemen. Quite frankly, if Zadina hadn't dropped as far as he did, I really think the Wings would have taken Dobson or one of the defensemen. But, hey, I mean, he goes 12th overall, and Islander joins the Islanders. You know, that's a great little tie-in here, and he's going to a team that suddenly has a significant change in direction. So, I think the Islanders made a great in this draft. It seemed like all these great players but these terrific prospects that were ranked to go higher that weren't expected to be there each time they came up, just dropped into their laps. It was like, Jesus, you guys did really well,
Yeah, they picked Oliver Wahlstrom before that, too. So
yep.
That was a big deal for him. One of the off-the-board picks, quote-unquote, because who the hell knows with these drafts? You've got to wait 5 years for any kind of
Oh, exactly.
Baron Hayden going number 5 to the Coyotes. A lot of people had him mid-teens. Mm-hmm. John Shaka shaking it up a little bit and throwing a lot of people's boards off the. I'm thinking, I don't want to blame analytics.
Oh, please do. You're going to. Go ahead. Trust your instincts, Scotty.
The reason why they picked him so high.
Oh, of course it was. Of course it was. Jake is an analytics guru. We know this. And again, I'm not knocking analytics. It has a place. It's part of your toolbox when you're evaluating players. Hayden, the thing that disturbed me a little bit, though, with him, and listen, not saying that he didn't deserve to go as high as he did or anything like that. But, Shaker, off the bat was saying, yeah, this is a guy we look at that we think is going to be a core piece for us moving forward. And so right off the bat, I'm like, ooh, okay. And then you had Pierre Maguire, I believe it was Pierre Maguire, comparing him to Patrice Bergeron. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, Jesus, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. No. Stop comparing these. I hate when they do that. Stop comparing these kids to guys who are in the league now. Okay? There's no comparison yet. You know. You can say, oh, yes, he's a terrific two-way player. You can praise up his skills. But stop comparing him to especially, hey, don't compare him to one of the best two-way forwards of all time, a four-time Selke winner. Don't do that. Now you're putting these huge expectations on this kid that, you know, let's say he just comes in and he's just a good player, you know, like a good player. Well, it'll always be, yeah, but, you know, he came into the league with these expectations of being a Bergeron. It's like, no, you put the expectations on him. If he was the one strutting around going, I'm going to be better than Bergeron, well, yeah, then he deserves the smack that he gets. But, Jesus, this kid didn't ask for that. I was like, oh.
But how else can you tell the regular Joe Q public what this kid's all about if you haven't gone and watched him play and, like, Baldor or some shit like that. Like if you're not a Katie Backers fan, like
they used to do that. But they used to do that. They would say he's got these skills. He's got these skills. He does this. And you play up like, you know, this was his stats when he was in this league and everything like that. You know, you to turn around like, you know, and say, oh yes, this kid's going to look like the next Nick Lidstrom. Jesus, don't say that. God.
Now even in the previews, it's like, who's he play like? And that's like a line in there. Just like, this guy plays like X. It's yeah. Like, oh, okay, well, there
it's
we go.
Way to play the bar. I'm so looking forward to a kid, you know, and they're gonna, and they say, you know, who'd you compare your game to? And he just says, I play my game. I would love to see a kid do, I play my game. Yeah, but who you compare to? No, I play my game.
What if he chose like somebody not in the NHL? Like,
that would be
like,
fantastic, like, dude. Now everybody's scrambling.
And he's like, ah, oh, my dad.
Now, here's what'll happen. Who do you play to? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, so like this guy, and then make an NHL comparison and run with that. These writers are idiots.
Oh, so Pavel Datsyuk. Okay, got it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like,
yeah.
Ugh. Who do you play like? Herb Carnegie. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Joey Moffitt. Ah, this guy used to play back in my school all the time. Joey was great. He was a guy I admired. I wanted to play like Joey Moffitt. What happened to Joey Moffitt? Oh, he met a girl, got tired of playing hockey. Now he runs Moffitt Motors and Sales back home in Charlottetown. Yeah, a great guy, Joey Moffitt.
All right, guys, you heard him. Said he played like Tony Amonte.
Like Tony Amonte.
Oh man. I know that they have to try and hype this a bit. They got to try and sell it for these guys and everything like that. But it's just, you're not doing these kids any favors by, you know, making them saying they're going to be the next, oh, they're going to be the next Crosby, the next Ovechkin, the next McDavid. Don't do that. Let them be their own player.
I have kind of with Scotty on this one though, because like, unless you follow hockey, you're not able to. Let me put it this way. In football and basketball, everything that you've seen from this kid in college sports is on TV in the United States. So if somebody's getting drafted top 10 in basketball, you're like, oh yeah, I saw him play against Duke last year. He's fantastic. He does this. He does that. You know, like, you know who he is. Nobody knows who some of these kids are, that especially the ones coming from Europe. No, you have to kind of pander to the American crowd in some way, shape, or form.
I see your point there. I mean, yeah, that's a fair enough point. Yeah, I'll concede that it doesn't make it any less uncomfortable for me when I am
happy
that,
of course, the fans have started like kind of not booing 18-year-olds on the best day of their life at this point.
That's nice. Yeah, I appreciate that out of the Dallas faithful that was there when it was actually a barren wait. You have, because you have to buy tickets now apparently, so. Yeah, there was not many people. Even the upper bowl was kind of,
well, it was pretty full in the upper bowls.
Yeah, it was fairly full halfway through. But like the lower bowls,
it was painfully empty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, so it wasn't me. Yeah, I was seeing some of the shots that got. I was
and
like,
and then today, oh boy.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that. Yeah.
It was, like, prospects and their families and, like, four other people.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was – I mean, it's one thing when you start the second day and you've got a pretty decent crowd, and then it starts thinning out as more and more of the players get picked. And, you know, you expect the rink to be pretty much emptied out, or the stands, by the time you get to the last round. But you usually have decent, respectable crowds there for the second day, at least for the start.
Yeah, not this time.
Well, Vancouver will be a packed house. You know, I was telling Johnny at the start that I'm going to try to get out to Vancouver next year. The thing now is just going to be, can I get credentialed? Because judging by the stories you guys have been telling me, getting credentials is getting harder and harder to do. So
yeah, and then after the show, Lyle, I'll tell you the story.
We haven't even talked about Puck Soup yet.
Oh, no, yeah, the Puck Soup podcast was great.
I was listening to that this morning while I was updating the site, by the way. I couldn't hear your laughs, though. I was trying to listen for your distinctive laughter. But.
Well, you wait till the end when the Schlemcode game happens. your boy.
I missed that part. I didn't get the whole show.
It's the very end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Your boy took it.
As he should. The best part about it, too, is that Scotty gets the first two out of the three, and then he tanks the third one because he's like, I don't want to be a part of this anymore, and says, Kerry Lettman.
Yeah, the third one was two Thrasher fans, and they said the last year, the 2010-11 Thrashers. I honestly thought Kerry Lettman was still on that team. I was wrong. That's fine. I should have said, in all honesty, I should have said Matt Down to Kelly. Just to get a Nat Down to Kelly drop in there.
Just to get that in there.
Yeah, but
no, because I was listening to most of it there this morning when I was updating this, because it's a long podcast, almost 2 hours. But
yeah, no, yeah. it was and then the Q&A was an hour after that.
Stephen Johns is good though.
Stephen Johns is
yeah. Great. Yeah. He was a good host. I just love Lozo asking all the questions he said he was gonna ask Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
That was a good bit.
And so someone yesterday said, what was it, that Jamie Benn was up on stage, so you know that the Dallas Stars were going to move down.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, no, if you listen to the end, the Schlemcode game, your boy takes two out of three.
I will definitely be listening to it tomorrow morning now. I'm going to fast forward to it so I can listen to the end of it.
Indeed, it's good times had by all. Yeah.
Sound like they had a good crowd, though. Sound like a good crowd.
It was a decent size. They had to change venues because, like...
Yeah, bigger.
Bigger, and it had air conditioning, which was nice. Mm-hmm.
Except it didn't have seats.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, they had to rent seats, apparently.
Yeah.
Because the seats were not included in the price.
It was basically, like, think like an old school, like, concert, like a little concert bar. So no seating. The walls are all grungy and like old stickers everywhere, and like it's got that funky like punk vibe to it.
Yeah,
but it did have really good sound. Like the sound coming off the bricks and everything was fantastic.
They did sound good, and I mean you could get to hear the crowd well and all that. Yeah, Lozo going out of his way to antagonize the Dallas locals. That was good,
of course.
Good naturedly, of course. Wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly.
But. And Greg was in his usual high form as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. He went off on a rant earlier in the show.
Was it about Star Wars?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I got to say, I think he's got an excellent point. It's like, oh, wait a minute. It's like you go to a museum to see a painting that you saw when you were 8 years old. Wait a minute. This does not look as good as it did when I was 8 years old. I'm going to redo it. I'm going to paint it with the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I can see your point. I can see your point. Yeah, but that's very personal for him, isn't it?
And he kind of takes it seriously.
Oh, yeah, he takes it. Well, listen, we know, Greg. He takes pop culture seriously, you know.
And in their whole Sergei Zubov skit they did, it was Greg.
It was a skit.
In a Sergei Zubov jersey.
That a fan literally took off his back and said, "Here, wear this."
Yeah, as he was saying, Sergei Zubov should not be in the Hall of Fame. that was a fun time, and then afterwards turned into a cluster F. because some douchebag chef wanted to take over, and then he leaves. It's like, oh, well, fuck that guy. Away we went. And we're here. And then we got to Friday. And Friday happened. Any other surprises on Friday, Lyle? Like on the draft side of things?
Like we talked about earlier, Hayton going fifth. That one surprised me. I thought he was, like most people, I thought he was going to go lower down. I wasn't surprised that I saw the Canadians pick. It's still take me a while to wrap my, yeah. Kotkaniemi.
Kotkaniemi.
The one where we're looking forward to Don Cherry messing up.
Oh my God. Cocky Nammy. Yeah. Rah. Yeah.
Who Cocky Nammy?
Yeah. Well, the assessment I saw of that one too was I think it was I can't remember who said it, but it seemed pretty spot on. They said Montreal picked the best available center, but they didn't pick the best available player. And it's like, could be. I'm really hoping for the kid that it pans for him. I really do, because Montreal's recent history of first round picks has been bleh. So I'm really hoping that he's going to be the kid to turn things around, but I don't know. Should have gone with the sure thing in Zadina, just saying. But anyway, prove me wrong, Habs. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, but as we know at this point, if you have a young defensive prospect, you're just going to trade him away before he gets up to the team anyway. So might as well pick somebody that's a center.
Might as well.
I don't know. I think the Habs should just decline their picks at this point.
Get the ball in the second round.
What are we going to do next year, Jen, if the Habs actually surprise us and they turn around and they're a 103-point team again?
They're not.
Let's just say, oh, I know. Just play along with me here. I know that.
Optimism. Come on. I'm in for optimism.
I don't believe they're going to turn around until after Bergevin leaves.
Yeah. It's just this has a different vibe compared to 2 years ago when they missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Back then. This has a completely different, just stinky, desperate vibe to it.
Well, because back then, we didn't know about the trades that were coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't know Subban was on his way out. We didn't know Subban was on his way out. By the way, Jen, your take on Domi for Galchenyuk. What's your thoughts on that one?
I think Arizona got the better end of that deal. I was really like cranky for a few seconds, and then I was like, "Yay, they set him free!" Because Arizona said, "You know, we want him to be a center. We want to give him the minutes. We want to, you know." And all this time in Montreal, he hasn't been getting the minutes. He hasn't been at his natural position. He hasn't been treated well, developed well. So,
but some
could
of this...
Could we see Galchenyuk kind of make this like kind of turn the corner the same way Lars Eller has, but
absolutely.
He came to Washington?
I absolutely think he's going to improve tons in Arizona because the way they're talking about him and actually planning to give him minutes and planning to put him at center and planning, you know, these are going to be his line mates. I think he's going to have a much better time.
But what do you think of Domi?
Domi's okay. I don't think he's spectacular.
There is a weird loophole though in the CBA that I've heard that you can only have one max on your team. So
yeah, that's why
there's probably a trade coming.
Yeah, Max is going to go.
Yeah, Max is gone. You know, the thing though for me as well, I mean, on the one hand, Jen, I mean, I do agree with you. I think Galchenyuk, well, he's certainly going to get the opportunity to prove himself now.
Which
you know, he's definitely going
to
hit that. Exactly. He didn't get, for whatever reason. And listen, I don't think that Claude Julien is a stupid man. I don't think that, I don't think he was being mean to him or anything like that. You got to remember the last time when Chucky had that 30 goal season, everybody talks about, that was 3 years ago, you know? So, you know, and he's always been inconsistent. That was the one thing that about Galchenyuk. He would go on these runs where it looked like he was just going to rip it up. And then he would disappear for games at a stretch. So that's the only thing about his game that I worry about. But hey, maybe playing in it, you know, and having that reset will do him good. The thing that I didn't like though was the way people were dumping on Domi, because they're like, oh, well, yeah, he had that terrific rookie season, but now he's only scored, you know, 18 goals in the last 2 years. And, oh, you know, he didn't play well at all. And it was just like, well, in the sophomore season, he missed 23 games with a busted hand, which he got from, which he busted on the head of a guy that he was beating up because he was defending Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who had been jumped. You know, and last season, yeah, he had a crappy first half, but so did the entire Coyotes team this season. That first half, if they could find a way to lose game, if they could find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, they could find it. But in the second half, they turned it totally around. And in the last 20 games of the season, Domi had 18 points. Now, granted, yeah, so it was his goal, his 9 goals, most of them are empty netters, but he's a playmaker. And that was something that was missing with them last season. They were missing a really good playmaker. So this could be a trade that works. I'm saying this could be a trade that works out well for both clubs.
It could. My concern with Domi is, you know, I don't think that he's a bad player. I think he's a very decent player. I don't think he's going to work well within the Julien system because Julien likes to mix up his lines so often that I think Domi needs that consistency, and I don't think he's going to get it. That's my concern.
Well, if Pacioretty's traded, I think Domi goes into that spot. Because now you're getting younger. You've got Drouin there on the other side. If you can bring in a young center, Domi's going to get his shot. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I'm hopeful that this trade works out. Actually, I'm hoping it's one of these rare trades that works out well for both guys. I really do.
No, I can see how it could work out, but there's a lot of ifs in the way.
Yeah, for both guys.
Yeah
for both guys. Yep. So.
Anything? Any other takeaways from this draft weekend? I really didn't. You know, UND guys went pretty much where they're supposed to be.
Well, there were 4 UND players drafted, right?
Yeah, four of the incoming freshmen. The 4 that we were told that were going to go did go.
And then there was one outlier. They said he may or may not.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
He didn't, so no,
well, that's
no
okay,
harm,
because
no
he's
foul.
Got next year.
Yep. Like a lot of the guys who didn't, or yeah, he has next year because he's 18 years old.
Yep.
JBD is 17, so he could have went.
UND's doing pretty good, you know, putting players in that NHL pipeline.
7 guys in the last 10 years have been first round picks now with the JVD pick.
Mm-hmm. Who's the most notable?
This is the past decade. It was Jost, Brock Nelson, Forbert, the Schmaltz boys, and Besser. So Besser, I would think, out of those.
Love that kid. Yeah.
Brock Nelson, a little. If Brock Nelson had kept on his thing, he would have been fine, but he didn't.
Yeah.
You know, that's a player I could just decide to try very, very quickly. That's a player I wouldn't mind seeing Montreal pick up for cheap if they could give him a chance. Brock Nelson. I think he needs a change of scenery. I wouldn't mind seeing him come up and play under Julien. I think maybe he might do well there. That's just me. And every time I look at the Islanders, I'm just like, Brock Nelson. Give him a chance. But anyway. But yeah, Besser.
Where's it been that he's a character player?
There you go. Yes. I play, but character player, he plays multiple characters in the upcoming stage production of As You Like It.
Mm-hmm. So, there we are. Anything else to speak on, Lyle? That you.
I pretty much prattled on. I chewed up almost a quarter of this segment just talking about that friggin' Hurricanes Flames trade. So that's pretty much it for me.
Johnny, do you have any takeaways from watching the coverage on television?
It was long. I feel like today rambled on for much longer than it usually does on Saturday. But even last night, maybe adding that extra team takes its toll. I was saying earlier, though, I kind of got bored halfway through the draft. And last year I was in the arena and fell asleep. And this year I was in my hotel room and fell asleep. And I just didn't wake up till the next morning. So I think I fell asleep at like 8:35 last night.
Even in the arena, it felt like it took super long.
Yeah.
Even though there's a 3-minute clock, it seemed to last forever.
Well, the problem is, right? Like they get them up on the stage, they have to shake hands, they have to pose for pictures, they have to put on the jersey, they have to, and there's like 5 million people on the stage, and I'm like, no, cut this.
This is where the NFL and the NBA do it perfectly, where you just do the commissioner, and you hold the jersey up, and then that's that.
Because
it wasn't me. Because today I was sitting there and I'm like, Jesus, this is taking longer than I remember. You know, I mean, I've been to these things. I've watched covered previous ones here from my office and on, you know, and I'm just like, this afternoon I was just like, Jesus, is this thing ever going to end? Yeah, I was so happy when that trade went off. It's like, finally, I got something to do here. Because yeah, I was getting bored. You know. I shouldn't be, but I was getting bored. So I'm glad that it wasn't just me feeling that this thing took. Maybe you're right, Johnny. Maybe the addition of an extra team, maybe that's what accounts for why it seems to be taking longer. I don't know. But
I don't know.
It dragged.
Yeah, because if Seattle comes into the league as expected, that's 32 teams, right?
Yep.
Well, then it's going to take all bloody afternoon on Saturday.
They're going to have to start Friday night at like 4 p.m.
Or do the first two rounds on Friday night and cut down the whole presentation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they won't do that because they have to be able to try to charge people to come in on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not going to sit through 2 hours, or they're not going to sit through two rounds on a Friday night. Everybody wants to see the first round, see the top 31 names, and after that, are there going to be any trades too? Okay, we're done. Okay.
Yeah. Essentially. Speed it up. Get, you know, limit the amount of people on stage.
That would be the first thing that I do.
Oh, the thing I would do, ban the whole, the Arizona Coyotes would like to thank the city of Dallas for its hospitality. We'd like to thank
congratulations to
Washington Capitals. Yeah, you know, it's just like, okay, the edit, you know, it should be Bettman coming out and saying right off the bat, on behalf of the 31-30 teams here, we'd like to thank the host city of Dallas for its hospitality, and we'd like to congratulate the Washington Cap or whoever the Stanley Cup champion is. We'd like to congratulate them, and as well, a final congratulations to all the players who won awards on Wednesday night. And now, let's get it on.
And this also, whoever steps to the mic first makes the pick.
Don't care who it is. It's just like, wait a minute. No, it's the GM's 5-year-old. Doesn't matter.
That's why it's the you know, commissioner gets the pick, makes the thing, shake it a hand, and away you go.
Well, when they first started doing it, it wasn't the teams announcing their picks.
Yeah.
It was the president or Ziegler.
Yeah.
Because they would run up, they had like little table runners who would run up there and hand them a piece of paper that said the Vancouver Canucks pick Trevor Linden,
The NBA does two rounds in about 4 hours with ESPN talking heads around it, and that's fine. They have 30 teams.
Yeah.
Think the NHL could do the same thing if you get rid of all the damn dignitaries, just let Bettman do it.
Oh, big time. Yeah. There's no reason to have a dozen people from the team that's making the selection trooping up there, including the owner and the owner's family and all that. What the hell are they all doing? If you want to welcome the kid, you welcome him backstage. He's like, here you go. If you want to have the jersey presentation thing, have one guy come up there, the general manager, we select so-and-so. Oh, he comes up, yay, shake your hand, pull the jersey on. You know, we'll pose, smile, and then get off. You know, go backstage.
The whole team thing in the back. That's
yes, exactly. There you can have.
What bugs me is when you have two picks in a row, and you have to make your pick, leave the stage, go back up there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. They're going to have to cut back on all this extracurricular stuff because it really does bog the show down. You know.
Oh, the skits too. The player skits. We need to get rid of them as well.
Yeah, yes. Second year in a row, the host city did a player skit, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, like enough of that nonsense. Yeah, hey, look what we just stumbled on. How we can make the NHL draft move faster. Thank God there were no trades last night. Can you imagine? Remember the Ottawa draft? Like, you know, the 10 years ago. I mean, as I said,
we almost missed the ferry because
you guys all, yeah. But that draft, I couldn't, I was going to go to that one, but my son was graduating that night. So go to the graduation and all that happy stuff. I come back and I figure, yeah, the draft's probably almost over by now, which is fine. I'll, you know, log on. I'll check and find out who got traded, blah, blah, blah. And they were announcing, I think, the 11th selection by the time I got home. I'm like, what? And that's when I discovered all these trades went down. That draft lasted like, God, it felt like it lasted over 5 hours before they finally got it done because of all the trades.
Was it last year, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago that the first round lasted like 4.5 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last year.
No, last year went pretty quick. Last year went pretty quick because there was only one trade, and that was the Braden Schenn one, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one went pretty fast.
If it was it Buffalo that went like seven? No, Buffalo went pretty quick. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, it seemed like it went on for days.
Was it the Jersey draft? That was the one
the Jersey one was kind of long.
Well, the Jersey one was all in one day.
Oh, that's right. Yes, because it was the after the lockout. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, so
everything happened in that day.
That's right. Yep.
So they. Had
I did like Justin Williams' tweet last night. He decided it. He decided he wanted to tweet his appreciation to Dallas for holding the draft. He goes, "But I'm not even there. I've just been there in the past."
Yeah, he's like, "I'd like to thank Dallas for their hospitality. I'm not there, but I'd like to thank them."
Yeah. They. They've got to cut this down. They do. I mean, enough of all that nonsense. Yes, the NHL and all the teams, we appreciate the host city blank for their hospitality. You know, congratulations to blank for winning the Stanley Cup and all the players who won the individual awards. Now, let's get this show on the road.
If you're going to have a situation now where there's people not showing up for it,
it's only going to get worse.
You might have to hold in a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have it at the home rink. You might have to hold it somewhere else.
Well, doesn't this really just set up for the NHL to make a decision at some point that they're going to do the draft in Vegas following the awards in the same venue? Like, I really feel like they're just getting to the point where they're going to stop traveling and just do it in Vegas every year.
Yeah. But on the other hand, though, there's going to be here in Canada, there will be like Toronto, the Leafs would be apoplectic if you do that. You know, they've been waiting to get the draft back in Toronto forever. Like, there's a lot of the big major hockey markets, they would be dead set against that because they want to host this thing because it's money. You know, and that's a big reason why I don't think you'll see them just stage it in one city. It is money.
Everyone would love it because media members wouldn't have to worry about a late night flight or early flight.
Oh, I agree. Sure.
You can keep everyone there. You can intertwine the award winners into signings at the fan fest and things like that.
Hmm.
It's cheap for fans to go.
Yeah, the airfare to Vegas is cheap.
Oh, listen, I'm not saying it's not a good idea. Oh, no. I agree with you. It makes perfect sense.
Which is why it won't happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah, you're right.
So.
But, I mean, think of what you could do every year because, like, FanFest every year they do, like, little history exhibits. Like, this year it was...
Old Dallas Stars, your first round picks.
Yeah.
The other.
Yeah. And then the year before was the like 100 years traveling trailer. I mean, just think of what you could do with the Vegas setting presentation for a fan fest.
You could even allow each of the 31 teams to host the draft in Vegas and bring their hockey history to the draft in Vegas and allow the fans to see their stuff.
If it's your turn to host the draft and it's in Vegas and you need some alumni to come and do a signing, how hard do you think it is going to be to say yes?
Right.
Honestly.
They're not turning down a chance to go to Vegas. No.
The weird thing is that even in your scenario, John, where you have a host city, Cap still won't get it.
True. That's true. By the time we were joking around about this, by the time the Caps get the draft, there won't actually be anyone in the arena. It'll just everybody that's covering the draft or everybody that's supposed to be drafted will get an AOL disc, and you'll just get holograms of what's going on.
It's the NHL cyber draft.
You got to figure that's probably going to come soon too.
Oh, hell's to the yeah. Yep.
Which that's fine.
Yeah. And they could cut down with like the little videos too.
Yes.
Videos that they do.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, like, don't
they? When they do the roll call and then you have to wait and like you can cut that down too. I mean, everybody's you've done the roll
but
call.
But that's before broadcast. Like that's they do that before the broadcast and things like that.
Yeah, but you could still.
I have a really weird question at this point. Has there, in the history of the NHL, ever been a team that wasn't at the draft? Why do you have to have roll call?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Have you not heard the story?
No. Let's break it out.
Okay, so back in the early 80s.
1983.
I'm getting there.
Hurry it along. Let's go. We're talking about hurrying shit up. And
hey, we have all the time in the world.
Okay, so back in the early 80s, the Blues were owned by Ralston Purina.
Yes.
Who saw it as a not profitable, we don't want this. They tried to get rid of the team, tried to move it to Saskatoon.
Yep.
The league said no. And Ralston said, well, screw this. You know, we're done with you. So they basically abandoned the team. They didn't tell anyone to go to the draft. They didn't tell anyone anything. They just disappeared. So nobody went to the draft for the Blues in 1983, and they forfeited all their picks.
Wow.
The only time in NHL history a team has forfeited every single pick.
Wow. I was not aware of that. I like to think I'm reasonably up on NHL history. Wow.
The thing is, they had a guy on staff. He was one of like three guys on staff at the time because their staff was this big because they'd all been fired and you know, quit, whatever.
Yeah.
They had a guy who had scouted. He had a list. He was all ready to go, and he never got permission or funding or direction or anything. So he was there. He was ready.
Yeah.
And they just didn't tell him to go. So he didn't go. And that was that.
And it's interesting because then years later, in the Scott Stevens thing, they forfeited seven of their picks to the Capitals because they signed him as an RFA. So,
wow.
We'll forfeit all your picks.
Wow.
And then there was that one year that they traded all their picks to get Ricky. Differently.
Saints.
Yeah, so people ask if there was ever a team that, you know, didn't show up or whatever. Yeah, that's
so now we know why they do the roll call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I thought it was just to allow all the fans to boo at other teams.
No, well, that's why I like talking to you, Jen, because I always learn something about NHL history that I did not know. And as I said, I like to kind of pride myself that I know a fair amount. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I was not aware of that.
I know they had sold season tickets in Saskatoon and everything.
I knew all of that. Like I said, being here in Canada, like that was all the excitement back in 83 was, oh my God, an NHL team could come to Saskatoon. And yeah, and it didn't happen. And they were.
And then they threw a fit and
yep.
The team.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Some breaking Maryland hockey news. Patrick Giles, who was passed up, was really in the 40s for North American skaters, passed up this draft, will attend Washington Capitals developmental camp before heading to Boston College. He's from Chevy Chase and you're not.
He's been dying to
I've
use
been
that.
Dying
oh, I know. Tonight. Yeah, I know.
Chevy Chase, Maryland native Patrick Giles will be attending Caps development camp. And then odds are, if you know the Caps, their history of picking non-drafted guys in their first year development camps, they will draft him next year. As they did with Nathan Walker, 2012 and then into 13. So there you go. So that was the other guy I was looking forward to maybe seeing and didn't see him around, but
Chevy Chase.
Yep, exactly. I was like everybody on every movie set he's ever been on, just looking forward to seeing him and never seeing him.
Nobody likes him, what I hear.
No,
yeah, he's
no.
seems to be a little bit of an asshole.
So. Well, that's the thing. If you go through life as an asshole, you're not going to have a lot of friends.
No, exactly. All right, I think we've done it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's another year of the draft.
Another year of the draft, ladies and gentlemen. We've done it again.
Hooray.
That's it, that's all. We'll talk to you guys Wednesday for a two-hour thing. We'll actually do 2 hours. It'll be great.
I'll be there for one of them.
Yeah, I'll be there for one. Mark will be there, maybe. see what happens as we lead up to free agency 2018. Catch the fish. And Lyle, this year it works out because Canada Day is on Sunday. So you get the observing on the Monday. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm still working Monday because anybody who didn't get signed on Sunday is still going to be kicking around on Monday. For me, it's a special level of hell. The 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd are days I do not get to celebrate as holidays because I am working.
Celebrate the 4th with us on Wednesday.
Oh, I should.
You can celebrate the 4th and 5th and 6th like we're going to do in the United States.
Exactly.
I will celebrate the 4th by celebrating you, my American friends, and praying that things get better for your country soon.
Yeah, it's everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine! Just fine! Nothing to see here! Anyway.
The kids are kids every day. It's called a plague pen.
And that look is priceless. Oh, my Lord.
All right.
Oh, God. He doesn't play fair, does he, Jen? He doesn't play fair at all.
He'll say something, and then he'll look at me like, what? Like, I prepared. Well, for you, and it turns out there is no prepare. No.
We had this conversation earlier in the draft weekend. At some point, Jen doesn't want to laugh at Scotty's jokes because then he's just encouraging. Or she's just encouraging him.
Yeah, just best to go. I can't help myself because Scotty always makes me laugh. So
thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. At least someone.
I can't. You do. Yeah.
All right. That's it. Thank you for listening, everybody. For Jenny P, Jenny Tell History Girl, Lyle Richardson, I'm Scotty Watts. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been the Face Off Hockey Show Draft Show on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/FOHS Radio, twitter.com/FaceOffHCKY Show, and facebook.com/FOHS Radio. Until next time, until Wednesday, peace.
I don't have any music queued up.
That's fine. I'll just hit it.